Good morning. Hope everybody had a good week. We had a good corn roast. None of us looked, if you came to the corn roast, you probably didn't need breakfast. We ate well, had a good time. Thanks to the Starkeys for providing all that, and for Steve for cooking it, and for all you other ladies who brought all that other good food we ate too, and for all the visiting time. That's good. It was a good day. If you have a Bible, we're going to be back in Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. We're up front in your Bible today. These are the first five books of Moses. And our main character is Miriam. Remember the big sister who was responsible for watching over the basket and the bulrushes? That's Miriam. Remember the big sister who talked to the princess and got, you know, her mother, Moses' mother, to be able to nurse him as an infant? That's Miriam. Remember the lady who was well into her upper 80s when she led the people in song after crossing the Red Sea? That was Miriam. Now she's well over 100, and there's a problem that's happened. Moses has chosen a wife, and she's decided that it's her responsibility, along with her brother, who's the high priest and wears the ephod with the 12 stones for the 12 tribes of Israel and a crown on his head. And up here in Hebrew, it says, "Holy unto the Lord." And these two decide they're going to argue with their brother. And the sad news is why. So if you want to open up your Bibles, we'll be in Numbers. Numbers chapter 12. It says, Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses?" they ask. "Hasn't he also spoken through us?" And the Lord heard this. God does not approve of speaking against anyone based on race. As I said with the kids this morning, who are we all descended from? Adam and Eve, Noah and his wife, everybody on earth. Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, Native American, we are all descended from Adam and Eve, every one of us. You can genetically prove it, that everyone is descended from one set of human ancestors. We have that much similarity in our DNA. We know that we're all descended from one set of parents. And that's Adam and Eve. And again, that's Noah and his wife. Everyone, because everybody else perished in the flood. So we're all one race, human. And we need to act accordingly. Now, for what reason did they speak against the leader of their people? It says, because he married an Ethiopian girl. The word Cushite, is some in newer translations, is translated Ethiopian. He married an Ethiopian. He married a Cushite, an African. So Noah, Moses, who's Jewish, has a Ethiopian wife. Now, what damage did we see this week in America, in Charlottesville, in other places, because of racial prejudice? Is it wrong to hate blacks? Yes. Is it wrong to hate whites? Yes. Okay? Our jobs, love one another. I really think the solution to this problem is to shut off the news and love your neighbor. That's why I put that on Facebook this morning. Okay? You want to do something, fix problem? Quit listening to the news. Just love your neighbor. Be kind to him. Bring him a piece of cake. You know, have him over for coffee. You know, mow their grass for them. Do whatever you can to bless one another. Why? Because that's why we're here. We're here to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We're here to be the voice of God in our communities and to love one another, whatever their race, whatever their ethnicity. Now, God clearly punished those who racially rejected authority. We're going to go down to verse 4. Now, verse 3, I don't think Moses wrote verse 3. I think that was added later. by people who were, because it says Moses was very humble, more humble than anyone else. You know, can you imagine writing down, I was very humble. Sorry. Okay, so I think someone else put that in there. Anyway, let's go on. Verse 4. It says, at once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud, and he stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When both of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions, and I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous like snow. Uh-oh. Okay. He says, you get upset with him marrying a black girl? Well, I'm going to turn you white, way white, white like snow. So she's got leprosy. Okay. You know what the difference is between my skin pigment and that of the blackest Ethiopian in the world? Less than a half of a teaspoon of melanin. Did you know that? Less than a half a teaspoon of melanin. If my blood type's A positive, it's the only thing I got an A plus in high school. Okay? If my blood type's A positive and someone else's A positive, we can give blood to each other. My wife, I can't give blood to her. She's O negative. But someone who's black and they have O negative blood, they can give blood to my wife. Right? See, we're human. We are one race. We didn't separate, you know, at creation. We separated after the Tower of Babel, and we did that by environment. Okay? We can see it in dogs and cats. Okay, dogs, after Noah's flood, some of them went to Africa where it's hot and sunny. And all the long-haired, heavy-furred dogs died or moved away. And so they kept breeding with other skinny, short-haired dogs until dingoes became a species. Right? Same thing happened. Some of the dogs headed north. And the skinny, short-haired dogs, thin-furred dogs, they all died or left. And that's why we got Arctic foxes and chows and huskies and all that, because they adapted to the environment. Well, people did the same thing. Pale-skinned people got sunburns and left Africa. They went to places where they wouldn't. And people that had a dark-skinned pigment that couldn't absorb the vitamin D from diminished sunlight, they died up in northern climates. And so environment separated us. We're all from one race. We are human. We are all descended from Adam and Eve. The Bible tells us that. We're all descended from Noah and his wife. The Bible tells us that. Okay? But when you reject someone because they're not your color, God's not impressed. Now, do you think God was justified in punishing Miriam so severely? You know, I'm upset with him because he's black. Well, I'll make you white. I'll make you way white. And she had leprosy. Leprosy is, it's AIDS on steroids. Okay? It's a disease that you can't recover from. And it's going to just rot off your extremities, fingertips, toes, earlobes, into your nose. It's horrible. It's a horrible disease. Still goes on. We used to have a leper colony on an island in Mississippi and on another island out in Hawaii. But there's lepers all over India and Bangladesh still today. It's a horrible disease. Now, God was justified. God made one race human. You're supposed to love them. Now, what punishment do we receive when we choose to be racially prejudiced? You're the first thing you do when you decide to be racially prejudiced? You cut yourself off from people who could bless your life. Absolutely bless your life. Remember when Willie was here? Willie Franklin preached here? He stayed at our house that whole week. He's a ball to be around. I learned all kinds of things from him. That's an older relationship than you know about. My grandmother and grandfather had him over for dinner back in the 1960s or 70s, earlier, right after he was brought to Christ. Ron, their preacher, is the one that baptized him. And then he became their associate minister there in Clinton, Oklahoma, long time ago. Okay, guys, we're one in Christ. We need to love one another, bless one another as best we can. Okay, one of Charles Hill's best friends is Charles Peary. And if you speak Zambian, Peary means hills. So Charles Hill and Charles Hills are great friends, and so are a whole lot of other Zambians. So we cut ourselves off from people. We also rob ourselves of the opportunity to bless. Why are we here? We're here to bless people. We're not just here to bless people that are white. We're here to bless everybody. Everybody. Now, what's wrong with racial prejudice from either side? You know, racial prejudice works both ways. Okay? If I'm prejudiced against blacks, that's wrong. If blacks are prejudiced against whites, that's wrong. Is it wrong for the KKK to do the horrible things they have done in the past? Yes. And the idiot from Ohio that did his thing this last week? Yes. Is it wrong for Black Lives Matter to do what they've done to a lot of innocent police officers? Yes. Okay? Racial prejudice is wrong, is wrong, is wrong. Now, those guilty of racism need to humbly plea for forgiveness. Look at the last half of verse 10 through verse 13. It says, starting on the second sentence there in verse 10, he says, Aaron turned towards her and saw that she had leprosy. And he said to Moses, please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away. So Moses cried out to the Lord, O God, please heal her. Okay? We've sinned foolishly. Guess what racial prejudice is? It's a foolish sin. Why is it a foolish sin? Did God make you in his image? Did God make them in his image? Yes. All right? Now, why is racism so serious for a believer? If you keep your mark here and go back to 1 John, this is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the one back by Revelation. Okay? In 1 John chapter 4, this is the one that my mom used to make us read whenever my brothers and I'd get in a snit. You can't imagine that happening. Anyway, he says, verse 19 says, we love because he first loved us. And then he says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who doesn't love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Okay? What, you know what's wrong with racial prejudice? If you don't love your brother whom you have seen, who do you not love? You want to get on my bad side? You be nasty to my kids. You want to get on God's bad side? You be nasty to his kids, whether they're black or white. Racial prejudice is wrong. If you don't love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you have not seen? So, how are we blessed when we humbly ask for forgiveness? If you notice, he says, we've sinned foolishly. He pleads with God. Moses pleads with God. Aaron pleads with God. Okay? Lord, please, when you've sinned racially, you need to plead with God for forgiveness. Okay? If you've done things that are unkind to someone just based on race, or any other sins for that matter, you need to plead with God for forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's in chapter 1 of 1 John. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, the shame that follows racism remains even after forgiveness happens. Look at verses 14 through 16. It says, oops, I'm in 1 John, that won't help. Okay. He says, the Lord replied to Moses, if her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back. So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people didn't move until she was brought back. After that, the people left Hazeroth and encamped near the desert of Paran. Okay? She's cleansed of her leprosy. And she goes, yay! Hey, wait a minute, time out. We have Jewish laws of uncleanness during monthly cycles. Women were considered unclean. Men, after an emission, were considered unclean. People who touched a dead animal were considered unclean. If you touched a dead loved one, you were considered unclean. And first, you had to wash, and you were considered unclean for a certain amount of days. Well, if you had leprosy, you were unclean for a week. And that was after you were declared clean. You were still unclean for a week. So for a week, she's unclean. So here she's been forgiven. She's been blessed by God, but she's still got this hanging shame over her. Do you remember David, after David sinned with Bathsheba, and Nathan said, you are the man, thou art the man? Okay? And he said, but God, and he says, I've sinned. And he says, and the Lord's taken away your sin. But the kid's going to die, and the sword's not going to leave your household. He loses 4 sons, 4 sheep for the ewe lamb he took. Okay? And so he loses 4 sons. So he has, even though he's forgiven of his sin, are there consequences of our sin? If I rob a bank, I can be forgiven of robbing a bank, but I still go to jail. Okay? If I shoot someone, I can, you know, be forgiven of that if I repent, but I still have to suffer the consequences, right? So if you, whatever the sin is, including racial prejudice, if I do that and I'm forgiven of that, I still have to suffer the consequences, the shame that follows after. And you can just see Miriam just, oh man, I'm so ashamed. The whole camp is hell. There's 605,000 men plus women plus children, and they're all saying, oh, we can't go because of Miriam. We can't leave yet because of Miriam. Oh, it's all Miriam. You know, and so does she feel this shame like weighing down on her? Good. You know, I baptized a lady one time, won't tell you her name, and she was $37,000 in debt to her bookie when I baptized her. Okay, illegal bookie, all right? And we had talked about that and had some serious discussions, so she quit. Well, about 4 or 5 months later, she called me up. She says, Jack, I went back to my bookie and I gambled and I felt real guilty. And I said, good. And she said, well, I thought I was a Christian and I'm not supposed to feel guilty. I said, no. When you mess up, you're supposed to feel guilty for messing up. Okay? All right? When you've done wrong, shame is a good thing. Shame helps us out. So, why would God allow uncleanness to remain on those who are forgiven? Because he doesn't want us to get used to sinning. Right? You're not supposed to get used to sinning. Does it make you feel uncomfortable when you sin? Thank God for that. And have you been shamed for sinning? Yeah, good. Then don't do it again because you don't want to be shamed again. Right? Now, why do we need reminders of our sin? If you go back to Hebrews, again, the last big book in your Bible before you get to Revelation is Hebrews. In Hebrews 10, we all know we don't all, but a lot of us know verse 4, the blood of bulls and goats can't forgive sin. I remember that. Look at verse 3. He says, but those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. See, the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sin, but can it remind you of sin? Oh, yeah. And so we need the continual reminder. We need to be reminded, hey, Jack, you messed up. Hey, something's wrong here, okay? And so the shame that followed her was a reminder of the fact that she had decided to sin. Now, one more. I've seen this one a lot this week on Facebook, and I'm so glad that it's been there. Look at Galatians 3. Look at verses 26 through 29. Now, this one's a little harder to find. It's after Acts, Romans, Corinthians. Those are the big letters. After the big letters, Romans and Corinthians, the first little one is Galatians. And in Galatians 3, he says these things, verses 26 through 29. He says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many as of us have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, you are all one in Christ Jesus." Okay? Is there a difference in the body of Christ between men and women? No, between rich and poor, between slave and free, between Jew and Gentile, between black and white. See, our black and white racism in America pales in insignificance to the Jew-Gentile prejudice in the first century. The Jews hated the Gentiles, would take baths if they touched something that the shadow of a Gentile had fallen on, had rules not to help in the delivery of a Gentile baby because that would do nothing but bring another Gentile into the world. It was horrible what they did, okay? And so the Jew-Gentile divide was much greater than the black-white divide has ever been. Even with KKK, as bad as that was, which, by the way, started in Elmwood, Indiana, and it's still an interesting place that you don't want to be. Okay. Anyway, what attitude towards Christ is displayed by the racially prejudiced? Okay? If there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, we're all one in Christ. And then I decide, nah, we're better one than they are. If you haven't read the right books, you'd never get this one. Star-bellied Sneetches. Anybody know what I talk about? Nobody knows Star-bellied Sneetches? Oh, come on. Dr. Seuss. The Star-bellied Sneetches are the best Sneetches on beaches. And they go back and forth, and they had this big racial thing between those who have stars on their bellies and those who don't. And they just had this big racial divide that happens. And it's a hilarious story. It's worth reading to your grandkids. It's a good one. But the thought is, if you think you're better than somebody else, you're not. And when you do that and you're racially prejudiced, what you say to Christ is, yeah, I know we're supposed to be one in Christ, but we're a better one than they are. No, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We're not a better one than anybody, are we? There is one race, human. You know, Philip didn't come up to the Ethiopians and say, oh, no, I can't teach him because he's Ethiopian. No, he taught him about Jesus, baptized him into Christ, didn't he? We're all one in Christ. Peter understood he was supposed to bring the gospel to Cornelius' house. God taught him. So when I decide, no, I can't show kindness to that person, I'm saying we're not one in Christ. And Jesus died for us to be one in Christ, for us to be perfected in unity. Now, how can we learn an appreciation for unity in Christ that'll end our prejudice? I think we need to go back and read Jesus' prayer, John 17. He, six times in there, he repeatedly says, I pray that they be one. I pray they be perfected in unity. I pray they be perfected in unity so that the world will know that you love them and that you sent me and that you love them even as you love your own son. Okay? He wants us to be perfected in unity. The most racially divided hour in America is Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Because if you look in here, we're all white. Okay? And we get some black people that will come and visit with us for a while, but eventually they feel very uncomfortable. That's wrong. I've preached in black churches. Used to be every other month I'd preach in a black congregation. And when they amen you, it's awesome. All right? And can they sing? They sing us to shame. Okay? They just fill with joy when they sing. All right? There's so much that we could be blessed by one another if we would take the time to love one another. There is one, not only is there one race human, there is one body of Christ. And we are Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. We are all one in Christ Jesus. To learn that appreciation, we need to love people one at a time. Just find one person and love them, whatever it is. And don't let anything separate you from loving them. Our distance makes it easier for people to keep their distance from us. We are called to love. Called to love. Now, the call to action this morning is very simple. We have been called to become all things to all men so that by all means we could save some. Jack, that kind of sounds familiar. Yeah, it should sound like 1 Corinthians 9. Okay? If you're in Galatians, right before that is 2 Corinthians, and before that's 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul writes, verse 19 to 21, we're acquainted with this passage. It says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. Okay, Paul says, I became all things to all men, so that by all means I could save some. We are called on to become all things to all men, so that by all means we can save some. We need to be blessing people in Zambia, blessing people in Circleville who have a different skin color than we do, and repenting of any prejudice that may have separated us in the past. Why is racism so wrong? We've talked about that. It denies the oneness in Christ. It denies the oneness in creation. What can we do to overcome this problem in our society? Shut off the news and love your neighbor. Just, they're trying to divide us, and we're letting them be successful. What can you do to help your friends overcome temptations towards racism? Listen. Ask questions. Be an example. What can we do to overcome temptations towards racism? How can we better practice racial unity? One person at a time. The gospel is not, God doesn't save people on the group plan. He saves people individually. You bring people to Christ. We are one in Christ. So, how can we help? I know we don't normally speak on the subject, but we probably should. And this week in the news, let us know why we should. Guys, we're to be one in Christ with everybody. I have black brothers, I have white brothers, I have black sisters, I have white sisters. So do you. We need to act like it. Let's love one another. Let's love people into the kingdom and not let any racial barriers ever be erected in our hearts. If you need us praying for you, we'd love to pray with you. It's hard. If you were raised a certain way, when my grandmother's congregation decided to merge with a black congregation across town and hire Willie Franklin as their associate minister, it was real hard for her and others to wrap their heads around. Whatever the situation is, guys, we're supposed to be one in Christ. There is no excuse for showing unkindness to anyone of any race. If we can pray with you, whatever your need is, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.